Will the young people come and join me this morning?
Spending time with their kids.
We talk about prayer all the time. We're convinced that prayer is the key to a happy, successful life and the saving grace of our nation. Yet we walk out of here and we don't do a thing about changing our prayer habits. Not one thing. We smoke, we curse, we drink, we gossip, we are rude and unforgiving. And then we shake our heads and we say to ourselves and others, yeah, I know I shouldn't. I guess I'm just a sinner, you know. Why are we so two-faced? Why do we show the world that to be a Christian is to be a hypocrite? Well, unfortunately, what has happened in our country has contaminated the church. Many of us are persuaded about things, but we have very few true convictions. Many of us are persuaded about things, but we're just not particularly convinced. Now, we know what is right. We know what we're taught. We look around, and we are sure that we can tell the difference between right and wrong. But we're short on developing true convictions in our lives, because somehow this evil world has convinced us that the truth is relative. We have opinions, but we have very few convictions. And so for many of us, our walk does not match our talk. We have opinions, not convictions. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning. The book of Daniel tells about King Nebuchadnezzar. His armies had conquered a ton of countries, and he would take the most intelligent and skilled men of that nation to the capital city of Babylon. And these men would not be treated as the slaves they were. They would live in the palace, be given the very best food, they'd wear the very best clothes, they would hang out with the king. And when the king needed advice, he would talk to these men who were the cream of the crop from many nations. Now, four men captured Jerusalem. We know their names, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Our scripture tells us Daniel was forced to make a decision. He was offered the king's wine and food, which he knows has been dedicated to idols. Now, in his life, this is something that he had been convinced of. He had a conviction about this, to not eat food that had been dedicated to idols. Now, he was forced to decide whether he was going to compromise on what he was going to eat and drink, or he was going to stand by his conviction, knowing that it might mean an end to his life, quite frankly. Now, the eighth verse of chapter 1 reads, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way." I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you resolved to do or not to do anything in your life? Have you made up your mind on some moral or ethical issue that the world thinks is a gray area? In any area of your life, have you made up your mind that regardless of the consequences, you will not compromise? Now, God looked down on those Hebrew captives. God wasn't looking for the cream of the crop like King Nebuchadnezzar. God was looking for the man who would say, "Here is where I stand. I have made up my mind." Now, God took Daniel, a man who showed faith, clean conscience, an unwavering commitment to the Lord, and he raised him up to influence the world. Now, later in the account, of course, Nebuchadnezzar has a problem. He has so many new people in the kingdom that he doesn't know what to do with them all. He's got some worshiping Jehovah over here. He's got some worshiping Moloch over here. They're worshiping this god. They're worshiping that god. They're sacrificing a different god. So he says, okay, we have a new rule. The new rule is this. You can worship anybody you want. You can believe anything you want, but must recognize me as the supreme authority in your life. Now, on the plain of Dura, King Nebuchadnezzar built a large tower. He decrees that at the sound of music, everybody has to drop to their knees and worship the tower. Now, everybody thought this was a perfectly fine idea. I mean, who cares? Except for the Hebrews. When the music began to play, everybody dropped to their knees, except for the Hebrews. They stood all alone, and they stood out. Daniel 3:16 gives the response of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of God you have set up." See, they weighed the odds. They realized that, eternally speaking, they had more to lose by compromising than they had to gain. Now, here's what's important. They were convinced that they had more to lose by compromising than they had to gain. Now, here were men, right up there, right at the top, right next to the king. They had the king's ear. They had everything they needed to live a long, wonderful life of influence. They would have been influencing a tremendous amount of stuff, but God didn't use that. God used their willingness to stand for their convictions to shape the entire capital city of the most important and powerful nation in the world at that time. You know, there were a lot of other people that got marched out of Israel into Babylon. There were a lot of those people. We don't know any of their names. And you want to know why? Because they missed an opportunity to stand by their convictions, and God overlooked them. He chose men who stood for what they believed. Until you and I allow God to move us out of the convenience of just having ideas and certain thoughts and certain views into a place where we are willing to sacrifice for what we believe, until you and I allow God to make us men and women of integrity, willing to stand for our convictions, we will miss out on ever being used by God. Because that's the kind of men and women God is looking for. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Well, Pastor Sonny, those are great Bible stories, and you have a point, but let's be practical. How in the world does that thing fit in with my life? I have this job, I have family, I have to compromise a few of my convictions, but they're not really important. What is the big deal about that? And what do you mean God can't use me? How do I know if I'm missing out on anything anyway? And what am I missing out on? Well, the answer to that question is, I don't know. Daniel didn't know. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't know. They didn't know the rest of the story. All they knew is that they had to make a decision. They chose to go with their convictions rather than compromise. And they knew that in life, there are some things worse than dying for what you believe in. They didn't have any idea how God was going to use them. You have no idea how God is going to use you. But I can assure you that the moment you compromise, as soon as you begin to rationalize, as soon as you step over the line and become a person of views and ideas and persuasion rather than conviction, you will short-circuit everything that God planned to do with your life. There are three areas where I believe we need to develop uncompromising convictions. There's a whole lot more of it, but these are the three I'm going to talk about this morning. Number one is moral purity. Now, I have to tell you, this is very important, physical and mental. I'm not talking about sex only. I'm talking about lasciviousness. I'm talking about pornography, and I'm talking about sex. We need moral purity. Realize that what you have to gain by compromising isn't worth it, period. And that's a conviction. The same is true for other areas of our lives. We Christians believe it's wrong to put filth in our minds. We know that. We know what Colossians 3 says. Set your mind on things above and not on the things of the For we have died, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. It's there, it's clear enough. That we need to set our minds on what is good and what is excellent. And we all believe that. But week after week after week, we are guilty of paying people to pour filth into our minds. How can you and I justify thanking God on Sunday for dying for our sins and then go out and pay people to entertain us with the sins that he had to die for on cable and the movies? Well, you know why. You know, because we have ideas and views and opinions. We're not really convinced. You want to know why we're not consistent in this area? It's because we have not really made up our minds. We haven't decided that what we lose is worth more than what we gain by compromising. Now, the second idea where we need solid convictions is ethics. Do you know what the norm is today? It's okay to be dishonest, it's okay to rip people off, and it's okay to break the law until you're caught. And then once you're caught, you admit everything that they already know, and you beat your breast and you tell them you're sorry, and then you lie about everything they don't know. Okay, that's the norm in the world in which we live. Yet as Christians, we know our yes is supposed to be yes, our no is supposed to be no, but we just live in this mode of excuses. It's time we have conviction in this area. If I'm caught doing wrong, I admit it. No more excuses. No more lying. No more half-truths. I tell the truth. There will be times when you will have to get up and walk away. And yes, there is money to be lost. But God has called us to be men and women of unwavering conviction. Now, there's a third area that we need to have convictions, and that's spiritually. Well, all of these are spiritual issues, but just for the sake of the time, I'm calling this spiritual. I'm talking about spiritual discipline. But I imagine that every Christian would agree that we need to spend time alone with God every day. Every Christian would agree. You need to spend time alone with God every day. Now, if you don't do that, it's because it's just your opinion. It's a view. It's not a conviction. I've had the privilege of being around some very, very busy, successful people who wouldn't miss a morning of being alone with God, even if it means getting up a half hour earlier in the morning. Because it's conviction. And nothing comes before a conviction. Do you have conviction about how much time you spend alone with God? Do you want to do something about it? If not, it's just an opinion. It's a wishful thought. What about your giving? Has God shown you how much, and are you doing that? And parents, if your kids miss as much school as they do Sunday school and church, admit it, they'd be in kindergarten forever. And you know what that teaches your kids, don't you? That God is not as important as other things in your life. It teaches your kids to treat God as a convenience. We will worship God when it's convenient. Are you willing to say to the Lord this morning, Lord Jesus, in many areas of my life, I am a person of opinion. Help me be a person of conviction. Lord Jesus, help me take that step this morning. Now, I am not talking about all-out commitment to the Lord, because many of you may not be ready for that. But can you say, Lord, I want to make up my mind about these things. I want to sincerely understand that I lose more by compromising than I do by sticking to my conviction. Even though it may cost me money or influence or position, I realize that I would rather lose that than what I lose if I compromise. That's who God's looking for. He's looking for you. Let's bow our heads and pray. assured on conviction. And we pray, Lord, you convince us that we wouldn't just cruise for life, through life, but that we would live our lives with a purpose, convinced of how it is you want us to live it. And we pray that we would tap into your power, which is the only thing that would help us to live it the way that you want us to. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.